would be taking place with people, and that is, yes, we need a pastor and a teacher. We like to have some evangelists. We don't like those evangelists, and we don't like that pastor or teacher. Don't like how it is or what he looks like or whatever. Well, that'd just be like saying to your dad, I don't like my dad. I don't like what he tries to teach to me. I don't like what he tries to say. And that happens. That takes place. Well, it's the only dad you got. Be glad you got one, because you can't get any more. When he's gone, they're gone. You can have one made legally, but you only got that one, you know. And so there's a purpose for dad, there's a purpose for a pastor, there's a purpose for a preacher. I don't want to park on this stuff tonight. Sometimes I think God is helping us get the church down scripturally, and then he'll either kill me or send me out with a music thing or whatever, and you guys will bring in a guy that's been trained to be a pastor. I think about that once in a while. But until that happens, here you are. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what church is all about. And that's us. Church is designed for us. What's their goal? Well, their goal is to till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal for everybody. That's supposed to be the goal of a pastor and a preacher and a teacher and evangelist. And then these are the verses here. They're supposed to be pretty important. And you know these verses in Hebrews 13. How important are they in your life? Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, not the person, but the faith, considering the end of their conversation. What is their walk like? Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And we beseech you, brethren, to know that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. That was Jeremiah. And so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. What's going on in churches today? Pastors are not reading in the book of law, the Bible, distinctly. And that's the problem there. So those are some verses right there that tell you how important a pastor is in your life. Well, you know, that's how important a father is in your life. And fathers, that's how important you fathers are supposed to be in your family's life. You do have the rule over your children. You ought to be speaking the word of God, and they ought to follow what you have to say, and actually have to follow what you do. That's a father there. Kids ought to obey their parents. They have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls. I hope that you're watching for your kid's soul. I'm afraid so many parents out there don't care if their kids go to hell. Oh, they'll get it eventually. Wouldn't that be an awful thing to see your own child go to hell? Oh, and you look back, because I know, and you know, and us older folks know, you can look back and you can see where you messed up. Wouldn't it be nice if you could have looked ahead and saw where you could mess up, but you didn't? I mean, you didn't have to, because you saw it coming and you learned from yeah, well, grandpas, we all, you know, that's life. Beseech your brethren, know them which labor your parent, your dad labors over you and admonishes you and esteem your dad very highly. Because of who he is? No, because of his work's sake. His work's sake, he's trying to perfect his children. Trying to get them to do what they need to do, teach their children, edify the children. What's their goal as a parent? Right there. Get them to know the Lord. You know? So there's all sorts of things. Parents, dads, you can sit down here and you can give your kids knowledge and understanding about things that they'll never get anywhere else. And you can take that Bible out. You can read grace distinctly to them. And you can help them understand the Scriptures. But we don't need to do that, because God has given us pastors and teachers. Yeah, but look at this key word right here, if I can hold my hand still at all. That's the hands of a surgeon right there. You know, I'll probably do eye surgery when I retire. You know. They'll hire me in some school for the blind. I can make it permanent, you know, or something. He gave some. And it doesn't say he gave some apostles. It says he gave some, boop, apostles. And some, boop, prophets. And some, boop, evangelists. And some, you didn't do the boop. What's the matter with you? Oh, did you? Oh, amen. Okay. See, everybody doesn't have this stuff. Everybody doesn't have these prophets and well, they do with the prophets and the apostles because of their King James Bible. But not everybody can go and hear an evangelist. Not everybody has a pastor. They really don't. And I don't believe that. I believe that God's words up there tell me that they're not guaranteed one. So when you got one, wrong button. Okay, when you got, I can go backwards. I learned how to go backwards with this thing. When you got one, count your blessings. And I'm not, you know, type thing. I'm just telling you, that's what the scriptures say. What's your purpose behind all this? Well, it's very easy. We're going to find out what the church is all about. What's the purpose of our church? Well, one thing is to be fed, and there's some of your cooks. Now, I don't have it on the screen because I wasn't thinking about it today, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 before we go into the key of what tonight's all about here. Now I need to get a remote light switch, Louie. I can just control the light right from here, and you know, little buzzers in the pews, falling asleep, huh? Oh, yes. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, and I will park on this tonight because I got to do some more reading up, and it's been kind of interesting. Here, Tushy Pat, we're a very interesting little crowd. You know that? You know, for those folks that have hung around here, for all thick and thin and fat and skinny, you know, or skinny and fat or whatever, we just learn it. God is showing us some stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The first verse is there. From 1 to 7, that's my problem. You know what I mean? That's about the bishop. That's about a pastor. Being blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, etc., etc. Look at verse 8. See, that's part of the church. That's part of the local church family, the deacons. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, etc., etc. It gets even better than that. Look at verse 11. Man, even their wives got to look at some stuff here. Hey, the pastor's wife's off the hook. Nothing here about a pastor's wife. It's the deacon's wife that's got the scriptures put on them. But you know what the Bible tells us about what the job of a deacon is? The job of a deacon. You know what the Bible says about that? Nothing. I'll do a sermon here probably next week or pretty quick here about the deacons. And there's nothing in the Bible that tells a deacon how to deacon. That's a church thing. That's a Great Commission traditional thing. Near as I can see, it tells you about your character, tells you some qualifications, as they want to call them, but it doesn't ever tell you what to do. So what's a deacon? How do you get to be a deacon? How do you not get to be a deacon? Why do you want to be a deacon? What is a deacon? What does a deacon do? Not in there. But they're still deacons. Isn't that the Lord? He tells you you need to have some deacons, but he doesn't tell you what they're supposed to do. Really? It's not in there. If you've had pastors tell you what deacons ought to do, you'll see they're stretching it. But I'll show you some stuff about that, but not tonight, because I don't want to park on the deacons tonight and the deacons' wives. Isn't that amazing? So, this church is here for us. If they want to come, they're more than welcome to come in. And you can bring somebody because you like the sermon or you like the music, whatever, but that isn't going to kick with them. But there's a reason for our church right here. And here's the biggest thing. Here's the reason for the church right here. One more click here. Come on, keep up with me now. Keep reading. You get this next one? Oh, man, that's a lot of them. Okay, get this next one. You get that one? That's good. Okay, we can go now. We're the reason for the church. Right here. Us. We'll go back and look over this thing pretty quickly here. If you want to stay up to snuff with your scriptures there, turn to Romans chapter 12. What is the greater commission? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But right now we're looking at the church. How is it the church got mixed up? I should have brought this magazine too. This one magazine talks about how to get people to come to your church. This was in a Baptist magazine, and oh, I wish I could. Should have brought that thing. He talked about how we need to come to them in their terms and play them their music and get them to come into the church, and then we'll feed them. That's from one of our commissioned Baptist crowds here. So that's not the way it needs to be. Before we find out about them out there, let's show you what church is supposed to be all about here. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits. You know what that's telling me? This is a church. The local church is where you're supposed to come with brotherly love. You want brotherly love? You're going to get it at work? No, you're supposed to get it here. You come to the church. This church is where a place where you prefer somebody else other than yourself. Now, from this point on here tonight, and I'm going to put this on the back of your. This is going to be the stuff that'll be in the back of your little finger dinger right there. But this is very specific tonight. What I'm going to show you here. We talk about this. We're going to do it again. This is what we're supposed to get here at church. This is it. And you're going to find some things on this list that you're good at. You're going to find some things on this list that you're not very good at. You're going to find some things tonight that you know somebody else gives you a hard time about. You're going to find some things on this list tonight that you're going to, I don't agree with that one. That's why, isn't that nice that the Bible's our final authority? Not me. Not me trying to build a happy church. There's a whole mess of scriptures here that really put it to us. What's the purpose of this church? Who's it for? It's for us. And if you want, you can put this thing in your family. Your family. Mom and dad and the kids. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Pretty rough when you got brothers. But that's true. What's one of those things the Baptists really make a big thing out of? We're all what? Brothers and sisters. I have a real hard time with the sister thing. Just because it reminds me of the Mormon church or the Catholic church. Sisters. Anyway. You know. Brothers, I don't have a problem with brothers that much. I'm just not comfortable with it. That's just me. I have not been brought up in Baptist air. And, I, Brother Lewis, how you doing, Brother Lewis? You don't know whether to call, kid, you don't know whether to call somebody Mr. or Mrs. or like, just call them brother. If it's a man. You know. Or a sister. Hey, one little problem with calling everybody a brother, what if you're not saved? Well, you know, whatever. You get pretty picky about that sort of stuff. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. That's what you're supposed to get when you come here. We're supposed to come here, we're supposed to prefer somebody else other than you. In honor, preferring one another. Well, this is going to be a long sermon if I'm not careful here. Preferring one another, well, I will, but they better prefer me. You know, we get that. You just watch. Just watch yourself here. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Now, we're looking at this from a local church standpoint. This is also all the body of Christ. Missionaries, evangelists. But what my aim tonight is for us to see, is somebody got any needs in this church tonight? I should put in there that verse. I had no idea where it's at. I think it's towards the back. Maybe it's in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or something. If you know that somebody's got a need and you can fulfill it, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to fulfill it. If you can't fulfill somebody's need, you know what you aren't supposed to do? Try to fulfill it. Because if you can't, you feel awful. But if you can and you don't, you still ought to feel awful. Yeah, but you know who it is. Oh, we can't think that way because we're supposed to prefer one another. See? And I know you can't tell if somebody's got a need if somebody doesn't tell you the need. But, you know, as thing goes on here, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, I wish Carl and Virginia were here tonight because they're trying to get that room done on their addition to their house. And they were telling me that they want to get that done because they want to have the church people over after church. They want to do that. They've been wanting to do that for years, she said. We've just never been able to. And that's given to hospitality. You know? You go over to Lewis and Sue's, first thing you get is you get an offer of an apple pie. You know? You go over to Jerry and Nancy's, and the first thing you get is an offer to leave. Must be that verse in Proverbs. I've been there too much or something, you know. Or too long or whatever. Given to hospitality. Distributing to the necessity of saints. In honor, preferring one another. Rejoice to them that do rejoice. Man, Marilyn got a new car. Hey, all right. Well, what is she going to do with a new car? She can't hardly drive anyway. You know? I heard that your nickname is the Silver Bullet. Ooh, there goes Marilyn, her new silver car. Well, she ought not drive like that. Why'd God give her a new car anyway? This goes on. All over the country. You know. I'll just call you the Lone Rangerette. How's that with the silver bullet, you know? Weep with them that weep. We've got some trust situations. Chuck's mother. Chuck, what's the latest on your mother? Okay. Praying for Chuck's mother. Praying for Chuck. That's your mother. Well, that's all right. That's his mother. No, she's our mother. If it's his mother, she's his mother. She's our mother. If we really get a hold of this thing, this church will be heaven on earth. Ever come to church and felt like you had a taste of hell? Have you? Oh, come on. Move a little bit. I know some of you have. Some of you have been clobbered. Whoa. Sorry, I went to church today. I'm not talking about the sermon. No, I'm not talking about the sermon. I'm talking about each other. You know? Heaven on earth. What about your family? Your brother need a toy that you've got? You take your hard-earned money and you get him one. If it's a need. Toys aren't needs. You know. You happy that your brother's happy? Birthdays. Oh. I'm not going to get done tonight. I can already tell. Birthdays. Oh, maybe I shouldn't. Because we just had... I just thought of that. I can, because it happens everywhere. Oh, maybe I shouldn't, but I will. If it's A, you got three kids in the family. Well, I better go five kids. Okay, we'll go five kids. My family's got four now. Okay? We had two. And your mother did it too. So I can use that for an example. So if one of our kids' birthday, okay, that's neat. Rejoice. Amen. I guess as far as birthdays go. But yet, child B needs to get something too. To keep child B happy, but child A had a birthday. You've seen it, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You see it? Yeah. Here's a gift for the junior at the party, but then the little brother's going, you know, well, here, we brought you one, too. You know, whatever. You know what I think about birthdays anyway. They're just fun places to eat. I like mine, nobody else's. That's not true. I like your birthday. It was fun. Who's there with the birthday? Yeah. No, I'm just saying that... Why can't we just rejoice for somebody else? Rejoice to them that rejoice. Be happy for somebody else. You know, Marilyn's got a new car. How many want a new car? Yeah. You know. Well, glad she's got one. We should be happy that she's got one. You don't mind me picking on your new car thing here, you know. Oh, yeah. That's why we have to weep. Those payments are her payments are our payments. Yeah, see? There you go. Takes care of that. Oh. Now, right away, it's like, oh, had to stick that in, didn't you? Not only can she have a new car, it's paid for already. Well, who is this lady think she is? I wish I could get a car and have the payments already paid for. I can't do that. That goes on. That goes on in churches. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of love of low estate. Be not... Yeah, really. I'll go through. You ever had somebody that they just don't have it all together? We had a guy back in Las Vegas. He was Dingo Fritz all the way through. Had a mental problem. Remember him? Remember that kid? Oh man, I tell you, you go to the men's prayer meeting, and I'm afraid old Dingle's going to show up, and he's just going to lay there, and he's just going to cry and pray loud, and it's like, oh man, just the guy didn't have what Ruckman say, the elevator didn't go to the top, you know, and horse didn't have all four legs and all this kind of stuff, you know. And then one day we heard that he was killed. I know he was walking home, just walking back from the church, because he always was at the church. And he was walking down Paradise Lane or Paradise Valley, I think it was called, and a truck went by and clipped him in the back of the head with a mirror. God took care of that guy. Oh, amen. I felt rotten. Oh. You know. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Let's go on to the next one, because that's too many sermons in that thing. But that's what church is supposed to be. Romans 12. Here's Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another. You know what you don't get, what you're not supposed to get when you come to church? You're supposed to come to a church where there is no judgment. There is none. It says right there, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We're not only supposed to not judge somebody, we're not supposed to trip them up. You have the liberty to do what you want. Go where you want, whatever. Nobody should be judging you for anything like that. Right? I mean, really, seriously. Bert's got his problems. Jerry's got his problems. Bill's got his problems. We all got stuff that we ought not be, whatever. But there's no judgment here. Come to church, get fed, and just enjoy heaven on earth. But he also says, but you know, let's not come here and cause someone to stumble either. Yeah, you can do those things. But he does tell us, boy, let's not put that stumbling block in front of somebody else here. And then you can get real picky. Well, okay, see, he caused me to stumble. And now you're judging. You can't judge. I quit church. No, this is heaven on earth. You come to this place, there'll be no judgment in here. Ever done something? Ever done something in life that's wrong, and even everybody knows about it, but a couple years later you're not doing it anymore? Amen. They could have put the kibosh way back a couple of years ago. Just be patient. Pray for them. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Brotherly love. Hospitality. Have them come over. This church family we're talking about here. This is why the church exists. It's for us. This is a place for us to have heaven on earth. Let's go to the next one here. Next one is in Romans still, 14 verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Ever come here, stirred up any trouble? Not supposed to happen here. Peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. That's a scriptural command to us, the brethren. Another one, Romans 15. Now the God of patience, I know, and consolation, we got to. That's what it is. No. We need to find a guy named Consolation. The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Not according to you, according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Boy, amen in that King James Bible. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us. Whoa! Boy! That's a tough one. You ever have a hard time with somebody else? Just not lovable? Irritating, whatever, just whatever it is. I mean, just whatever it is. You think the Lord had a hard time with you? Oh, I think He had a real hard time with me. And if it wasn't for the fact that I'm just clean anyway, He could still be having a hard time. Oh, well, then He's got patience for you. Then we ought to have patience for everybody else. Yeah, but you just don't know. And God goes from heaven. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Okay. You took me in. I can take them in. That's what church is all about. Now, the Bible is very clear that somebody who's not saved or that somebody's teaching a wicked doctrine or whatever, not even supposed to let them in. because they can steer your children away. Not even supposed to give them a God bless you. Because they can get your kids. They can get your wife. They can even get you if you don't know your Bible good enough. Supposed to mark them that cause divisions. But see, there's not supposed to be any divisions in the church. There's something else that does take place in the Scriptures, and that is church discipline. But boy, you want to talk about an abused thing nowadays. I want to talk about that tonight. We're looking at while heaven can be on earth. A local church family. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Can you sit down with somebody in your family and admonish them a little bit for anything? Well, sure I can. Oh, here's a better question. Can you sit down with somebody in the church family and have them admonish you? Well, that's not his problem. It's none of his business. Now, you'll see in a couple of minutes that it can be. It doesn't have to be. You brothers can sit down with each other. Austin, you can say, Tyler, can I tell you something? Do you mind? Well, sure, Austin. I'd be glad to hear something. You know that when you do ta-ta-ta-ta, it really just it causes hurt to mom and dad? Who are you to tell me such a thing? No, a family, you could take that. It makes you think. If he's wrong, you know what? He's wrong. If he's right, that's why I love your brother. Somebody comes in here and has you over for dinner or something, and you kind of get talking. Well, you know, I was going to mention that to you. It seems like that could cause a problem. Is that you having a difficult time in some area or whatever? Well, yeah, I am. I'm sorry. And you know, maybe you ought to quit. Take a little admonishment. Who was he to admonish me? And then we go back to that first one. Be not wise in your own conceit. Is he judging me? No, but maybe he's trying to help you from becoming a stumbling block to somebody else. Maybe even to yourself. You know, Lewis, you cause me a problem when you have all this pain and you don't want to do anything about it. It makes me feel bad. I want you to go to a doctor, so you're causing me to stumble. A little admonishment there, and you go, well, thank you, Pastor. I think I'll go see a doctor tomorrow. Then everything gets all worked out. That's all I can think of, Lewis. I mean, yeah, kind of a dumb example, but next one. There should be no schism in the body. Division, schism. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Well, you know, LD's having some rough pains. Yeah, well, so is Sue. Yeah, I like LD, though. We'll just help LD. Sue can get some help somebody else, because I just can't help everybody. No. Same care one for another. I do believe that most churches that want to do right in this area, we're almost not even geared to be the kind of church we need to be for each other. You know that? It's hard. It's a financial thing. Sometimes we need to help somebody, we can't. Well, maybe we could, but we're not ready for it. One of the biggest ones I can think of that really is a shocker is if somebody, a husband and a wife, and the husband dies. Then we're supposed to be there for the wife. Ah, what if there's family? And then the family's supposed to step in. And that's not our problem. But what if there isn't any family? Well, according to the Scriptures, we're supposed to check to see if that lady was of those character qualities right there, the thing that she did. There's a list of those things in Corinthians. And without being picky and petty and all that stuff, that pretty good Christian lady, did she do the stuff she was supposed to do? Scriptural basis? You betcha she did. She was a marvelous little old lady. And her husband's gone? She got insurance? No. Well, she doesn't. Well, that was stupid. Why didn't they have insurance? Well, they just didn't have insurance. They couldn't get insurance. Well, we're supposed to help them financially? It's going to cost us a lot of money. That's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to do that. Lewis decides to take a one-way tractor ride up into the sky. You know, we have to take care of Sue. Nah, we got Jimmy. You know, how about LD? What if Goldie clunks him with the rolling pin and he's gone? Well, she didn't do the thing she was supposed to do, so we don't have to take care of her. But what if he slips and gets hurt and dies and then there's Goldie? And, well, we'll run him through the test. Should we take care of her? How about Donna? How about Brenda? How about Mim? How about my wife? See, are we even prepared to be the church we're supposed to be? Well, I'll put a couple dollars in toward the thing, but I don't want it to be some welfare thing. Let's go back to the beginning. You know, distributing to the necessity of saints, hospitality, you know, not judge, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, isn't God taking care of us? We ought to be able to take care of somebody else. If you can't, you can't. But if you can, after you buy the stuff you want, then you can help them. No, that's not the way it goes either. Who's supposed to... Who was that at here? It says here... come on, there's one in here somewhere. But looking at the other one, isn't that preferring one another? You know? Okay, let's keep going here. This is just, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. In other words, forbearing is the English word for the Greek word meaning putting up with each other. Right? You know, sometimes you just got to put up with LD. You know, you just do. Sometimes you just got to put up with Catherine. Sometimes you just got to put up with Sam. You know, Sam? Sometimes you just get irritating. You know that? Well, Pastor, I feel the same towards you. Well, you know, it's good to see you, Sam. We just have to learn to love each other. I love you in the Lord. But that's what this is. With all lowliness and meekness. Sometimes you got to get down off our... whatever you're on. Get off it and put up with each other. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So everybody out there, you see where they get some of this stuff out there in this Baptist and this Great Commission mentality? Yeah, some of those folks are better at this than we are. That's because they're part of that church. That's part of Satan's church. Satan's going to know that if we do some of these things up there, they're going to be happy out there in that church. And if we don't do some of the things in here, they're not going to want to come in here. But they're going to see some of this stuff in you. Not in the church. See? Moving along quickly here. Wherefore, put away lying. Putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Ho, ho. You ever been to Bi-Mart there, buddy? I mean, they got some stuff in the back room there that you can rub under those arms there and it'd take care of a little problem, you know? It's being pretty truthful. Or whatever else, you know? Hey, you know? But you're doing it with love. And you're doing it carefully. Lowliness and meekness. We're members one of another. You don't suppose the left arm says to the pit, you know, when you put that arm down, it gets, elbows don't smell. You get that elbow close by. Hey! There's application of that thing. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That all fits into a family, doesn't it? All this stuff is family applicable. Because we are what? Family. You know why it's so hard in a church family anymore, I think? Because it's not going on in the family either. I mean, if you can be critical of your brothers and sisters, it's just as easy to come here and be critical of the brothers and sisters. Husbands, wives, whatever. Moving along quickly, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, I mean, you haven't been overtaken in a fault, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Oh, did you hear about Louis the other day? Oh, he blew it. Oh, did he blow it? He blew it so badly. You know what can happen to you? He can blow it in a day or two. So if I were you, I'd go over there and I'd pal up with Louis and just be there for him. As it says there, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He blew it. Well, I might blow it tomorrow. And when you blow it, you know what you're going to want to have? This church. And I still, for the like of me, I cannot understand. I guess I can But when we all mess up, who do we need? We need the Lord, and we got the book. But who else do we need? We're supposed to have our church family there with us. I have a real hard time with that church discipline thing, but there's some reason that thing has to come about. But I'll tell you what, if you all mess up or I mess up or something like that, you know, the best of the Lord gives us here because He did it for us. Amen? He didn't charge it to our account. Why do we charge it to somebody's account? So they messed up. And the scripture warning right there says, hey, listen, you better be there for that guy because you might want him there for you in a couple days. That's one of my top 1,000 favorite verses. I think that's a really good verse. You know, lost it. There it is. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What are we supposed to talk about that gives us comfort? What? The Lord. What about the Lord? He's coming. Now, this is where I lose the mid-tribbers and all that stuff, and the post-tribbers. Let's talk about, you know, the Antichrist might be here. You know, the 666 thing might go into effect tomorrow. Oh, thank you. That's very comforting. You know? No, the Lord might come tomorrow. Oh, that's right. You know, sometimes that's all you can say to somebody. I'm not good at the hospital, and I'm not good in some situations. And yet, I guess I can say, well, you know, Richard, Lord might come before they have to put you down. Put you under. That's the dog. Sorry. You know. You know. Anyway, I was very comforting taking Beauty in, just talked nice and the whole bit. Beauty didn't know what was coming up. We don't know what's coming up sometimes, amen. And we just talk comfort, be comforting, be comforting. I didn't say, hey, Beauty, let's go to the shelter. Then you just can't do that. You know, there's no point in that stuff. Moving along. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Isn't that amazing? Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And that's neat that Paul's saying, listen, here's what you need to do, and you do it. And he says that. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And I hope you do that. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Don't anybody disturb you. If he's right, do something about it. If he's not, whatever. Hebrews, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, folks. There might be somebody in here with a heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what sin does on a repetition basis? It hardens you. And hardens you. That's what it says. We need to take heed. There might be somebody in here right now that's just getting harder each day. Harder, harder, and pretty soon they're gone. Where's LD? Hadn't been here for a couple weeks. Is he sick? No. Well, he was robbing from the treasury. And he started getting into sin, and that sin made him hard. He didn't like the preaching, and he finally quit. The money had nothing to do with what he quit about, but it hardened him. And he's gone. So when it says, take heed, brethren, you need to make sure you're not robbing from the treasury. Then it'll be all right. Isn't that an amazing thought? Here tonight, there could be somebody here that's just getting tired of this whole thing. Been here for years, maybe been here for just a couple years, and just tired of it. You don't know that they're that way. There's some people that are not here that I saw it coming. But sometimes I didn't see it coming. I know I didn't preach on makeup. I just know I have not preached on makeup. And that's the reason. I didn't preach on makeup. Whatever it was, it's your fault. Because y'all look back at this person. Whatever I said about makeup made them mad and they're gone. When have I ever preached about makeup?
I said, all right, but why don't I preach about makeup?
You did, and I'll look back at you. Gone. No. There must have been something else going on. Must have been some hardness coming in there. Didn't take much at all. I can think of another one. Could see it coming. One of them was having a ball. One of them wasn't. And you could just see it coming. And that thing says there, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. It can happen to anybody. An evil heart of unbelief. Another one in Hebrews. This is a classic. Now, we have to know how to look at this Hebrew stuff, but we'll talk about it later, I guess. And let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. Amen? We're supposed to provoke each other into doing right. That could get to be pretty irritating, can it? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I forget. We're supposed to be able to take admonishment now. We're supposed to be able to sit down and talk with somebody, and somebody were to say to you, do you know, well... No, you can just be there. Talk about it. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, somebody's struggling with a problem, and it's pretty obvious because they've even talked about it. You know, you could be an encouragement. Not in a judgmental fashion, because when you come here, there is to be no what? No judgment. And if somebody says something to you, if we realize that this is how this church is established, then we don't take it as judgment. You ever try to say something to somebody and it came across like judgment? It isn't what you meant at all? And we got home and put all your pieces back together again? You didn't say anything ever again? We're supposed to be able to... All this stuff takes study. All this stuff takes prayer. And all this stuff takes awareness to realize that this is what our church family is all about. It's not about them. Always call it the Baptist Commission. The Great Commission is about the church. Well, that's not there anymore. The church is where the brethren come together as family, without judgment, with love, and helping each other. And they get fed by the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist that God sends our way. That's what church is all about. That's what your family is all about. God gave you that dad? Well, can I have an option? No options, you know. God gave you that mother. Put this stuff to play in your house. I mean, man, if you don't know what to do in your family for Bible study, there's one right there. You can just sit down and you can talk about these things, and you can even test yourself. How are we doing? How are we doing, family? Let's put this up on the refrigerator instead of the movie schedule, and let's see what the hell we're doing. Whoa! I'm going to work on that one today. How about you, son? What are you going to work on? Well, Dad, you're judging me. Oh, cut it out. I'm not either. Mad, fight. You know. But this is a great class. This is a classic example. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That doesn't just mean church. Have somebody over. Have somebody you don't want over. That's a church thing. You know? You want to bring over somebody lost, go ahead and you can present them some stuff if you like. Go right ahead. It's hard enough to have somebody in a church over. You know? Have somebody you can't stand to have over. Call me up, I'll come over. Practice on me, and if you can get me, then you can have anybody you want in the church, you know. Finish this up here. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth. That's a pretty big assumption, isn't it? Saying ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth, well, your soul's purified, right? Okay. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, fervently, animated, hot, excited, glowing. Oh, Jerry. No, it's good. You know, you don't understand this, I don't think. Maybe you do. I enjoy Sunday morning about 10 minutes into the service. Because you're here. Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, I wonder who's not going to make it. I would do all Sunday sermon all morning and skip Sunday night If I could make sure that the people that aren't going to be back Sunday night would be there Sunday morning, they need to hear this whole thing. There are church family members that need to hear this. And it's a joy when I see you folks Sunday morning. It's really a joy when I see you Sunday night. And I'll tell you, you make my week when you come Wednesday night. How's that go? Those that love God come Sunday morning? No, those that love the pastor come Sunday morning? How's that thing go? Those that love church come Sunday morning. Those that love the pastor come Sunday night. Those that love God come Wednesday night. And if you can't come on those, some of the, you know, being pretty judgmental, aren't you? No, please, please. I've heard that thing said, and I understand that. I understand that. Oh, so now because we don't come Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, you're saying that we're doing it just because of you or the... See, I shouldn't even have to worry about saying stuff like that. You know, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't fit, then don't go to the shoe store, you know. I don't know what that means either. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. 1 Peter, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what that's telling you? If somebody doesn't quite have it together, if you got charity towards that person, who cares? Isn't that what that says? Charity covers the multitude of sins. Now, we know that the sin that's in us isn't even us anyway, amen? So why get mad at the person? It's not him, it's the sin that dwelleth within. Right? So don't get mad at the person. The guy messed up. He blew it. Yeah, but it's one of these big ones. Whatever. And that's, boy, I wish we could get the handle on that one. I mean, there's... I won't get in. I got the tape on. There's some big stuff going around, you know.
It's just the sin that dwelleth within them. And they gave them liberty to go out there and do what the sin did, and it messed them up. Messed up a church. Messed up stuff.
They didn't do it. It was the sin that dwelleth within. So I hold it against them. Why hold it against Danny? So she messed up. You know, whatever you did wrong this week... You can judge her for holding against her, but what is it that went wrong?
The sin that dwelleth within. It wasn't Danny. Now, Danny could have stopped it, but couldn't you have too? You could have stopped some of yours, couldn't you? Oh, I didn't, but yeah, but she should have. Oh, no, yeah, no, you don't get it. She did it about as good as you do. So we can't hold it against her. She can't hold it against you. That's how we're supposed to love each other. You're supposed to come here with no what? No judgment. No judgment.
I tell you, this church is here for us.
God has given us this place for us. Without being selfish and clicky, He gets the glory.
But this is all for us right here. This is the family. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Who are we all supposed to submit to in this room, the bottom line? Isn't Sue the oldest? Anybody, elder, aren't you older than her? You know? She's the oldest one in, the elderliest one in here, the most aged. Then... No. No, but we'll listen to her. Right, anyway. No, she's got the floor. How about the boys? Oh, no. Oh, Pastor, I don't think so. Just because Tyler's older than me don't mean I got to listen to him. Well, you know what? Yeah, you do. But you know what's exciting about that? He's got somebody older than him. See, he's in the same boat you're in. And poor Olivia... You know, that's what we have dogs and cats around the house. You know. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Austin, come here, kitty. You know. Wonder if that isn't why you got that big dog around the house.
bigger than that.
I'm not talking about Zach.
Okay, we better go back to that. We're not done with that one. All of you be subject one to another. Oh, there we go. That ranking can be overdone. Just subject one to another. Clothed is humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Don't the parents just hate it when the kids just they demand all the stuff that they demand? It's kind of like all of a sudden this parenting thing just went out the window. We're supposed to obey them. And the way they think and what they design, their way of thinking is just the way it's supposed to be. Isn't that weird? Has it gotten to that? Has it hit your house too? It's an amazing thing. Well, Dad resists the proud. That's how it's supposed to be. Because God resists the proud. You think you're having a hard time with your dad? Don't forget, your dad's got somebody above him too. You know. It's just a whole ladder of accountability, isn't it? Poor Olivia. You know, poor kitty. That's what I should say, poor kitty. Oh, wait a minute, isn't one of your kitties missing? Oh, Olivia, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, way to go. You know. Well, what's the name of your cat that's missing? Spot? I think we now know what happened to Spot. Finish this up. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another, you know. That's the light, you know. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Boy, amen. Now, you know, if we could really get a hold of that stuff there, we would have the church God would want us to have. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that we're lousy in that, but you know, we could use some improvement. You know how I can say that? Because I could use some improvement. And you all thought, you're right, you could. Oh, this whole sermon just went out the window then, if that's what you thought. What is the greater commission? Well, I'll tell you what it isn't. And it's not the church. We learned tonight what the church is supposed to be. It's a place for the brethren to get together and to be fed. What do you think about all that? You've heard that before. You know what I think the biggest obstacle for all that stuff is up there? What do you think the biggest obstacle for all that? Yeah? Pin it down a little bit more. Pride. It's just pride. I can get along with most of you, but I can't get along with Jimmy. I can get along with most of you ladies, but I can't get along with Neil. I can get along with almost anybody, but you see how that goes? Those church family people here that you don't have a problem with, well, that's not the problem. We need to deal with those that we're having a problem with. Get rid of that problem. I remember a church guy, we got up there and preached, and he would talk about this, and not letting the sun go down upon your wrath, and don't go home unless this all gets you everything all worked out and everything, you know. And then a whole bunch of people went over to this one guy. I felt really bad for this poor guy. Everybody had a problem with him. And here you're standing here, and everybody's watching you talk with all these people, you know. So tonight, when you go home tonight, and you know, not be going home if you got a problem with anybody in here. Really? But if you all flock to LD, you know, pick a number. You know, pick a number and don't do it all at once. You know? Yeah. We should all wear little number tags around, you know. I'm going to talk to you later. Give me a number. You know, whatever. Let's finish this thing up here with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I'll put that thing out on that handout there. And you'll have to add to your chart that you don't study. A chart that tells us what's the purpose of a church. What's the purpose of our church? And that's to love for each other, take care of each other, help each other, be there for everybody, no judgment, no pride, humble yourself, everybody's more important than you, blah, blah, all that stuff. And you know, if we were that way on an obvious basis, then you would want people to want whatever it is that you got. Because you can't get that way on your own. You can't. I mean, we can pretend all we want, and we can make this pretty of a church as we can, but we're just not going to last. We can't love each other on our own forever. Something clicks us. But if we're doing this because we love the Lord and we're letting the Scriptures work on us and the Holy Spirit giving us victories in all this department, then see, those people out there are going to see something we got. They're not going to see the happy church thing. They're not going to understand the peace and the joy that we're supposed to get when we come amongst our family. But they're going to want whatever it is you got, that you're able to love everybody in this family. That's what will bring them to this church. This church isn't going to do it. So what are they trying to do out there? They're trying to make that church, all that stuff, without the true book, without the Lord. They're trying to modernize their church so everybody wants to come to their church. And what do those people have? Nothing but a happy church. Well, isn't that kind of contradictory? No, I don't want just a happy church. Like it says in the cover, I want a proper church. I'd like to pastor a proper church. I've got the perfect book. And we know already that we don't need to get caught up in this great false commission. It's not my goal as a pastor to make a happy church. The goal is to feed you properly so you get a hold of all this stuff, and as a result of that, we have a happy, peaceful, loving, helping each other church. Look around you. Who's not here tonight that still normally comes? Well, why don't you call them? Tell them we missed them. You'll hear the reason why they couldn't come. It's probably a pretty good reason. But they still need to know that you missed them. Without any judgment. You know? Well, Pastor, that's your job. That's what you get paid the bucks for. Well, I talked to him. That's why I got the cell phone. 2,000 minutes a month. I'm driving down from here to wherever, Walla Walla, I'll call some of you. How you doing? Ah! Call you at work once in a while. Just say nothing to say. Just how you doing? How you burning trees lately or whatever. I called you just the other day, you know. Hey, man. That's what we do. When's the last time you called somebody in the church family and just said, how you doing? What, you go to church Sunday night, you hear that message? Well, I did. Okay, I'm calling to see if I don't care. I care. I don't care. Then you don't care if I care. Goodbye. See you Sunday. You know. Sure, Marilyn enjoys that car. Wish I could get one. Have that thing paid for it too. Sheesh. It wouldn't take much, would it? And when we chuckle, it wouldn't take much for somebody to be jealous and bitter over that thing. I can yak about that. Amen? Don't you see some people getting some stuff that you wish you had? What's the deal? What are you blessing them for, God? You know, we're too old to enjoy it anyway. You know? Like, what are you doing getting... Okay, won't go there. What does she get one of those for? What does she get one of those? What's the deal, Jerry? Am I not your pastor? Are we not supposed to have... Isn't the pastor supposed to have the best of all?
That's right.
That's right. You give that to me. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Give him the car, Marilyn.
We went to 2 Corinthians 5, didn't we, here? Yeah, we finished this up, maybe. I have no idea what time it is, but who cares? You don't care, because we love to be here.
Right.
You know? Jerry's got to go home to... Never mind. That just sweet, loving wife. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Let's just finish this up. See, this is the greater commission. Our commission is not to get people into this church thing. This church is for us. There's a greater commission. Verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know that what we need to be taken to our friends and family, and the unsaved friends and family, is all the stuff that's in those charts. If we could learn that Bible and walk it just a little bit each day, they would see that you got something that they don't got. Because you can walk right and have the assurance of the Scriptures, and it still changes your glow. Because you can walk right because you're supposed to walk right and not have that thing that they're looking for. You follow that? What's the purpose of this church thing? Because I'm excited to know that we got some scriptural foundation for debunking the Baptist Commission and learning what the church really is for and who it's for, and understand what we're supposed to be taking to them out there. And if we have what it takes to have this kind of a church, then they'll want to get involved because of whatever it is you got. And we got the Scriptures to back that up. And that ought to change some of the glow a little bit. What did Moses do when he got to kind of be around the Lord there a lot? That guy lit up. And they didn't want to just be around the Lord, around God. They wanted whatever it is that lit up Moses. See, and they need to see what lights you up. Does this church, what church light you up? Nah. That book ought to light you up. And all the stuff the Lord's done for you. Oh, let's take the time. I'd love to take the time. Whip up those charts and look what he's done for us. He has made me clean. He has my favorite one is imputation. He's made like just as if I'd not sinned. I mean, you just go down that stuff. I'll show you some scriptures. I want to show you some scriptures. You know, a couple of years ago, I wanted to preach a message because I wanted to preach a message. But now you know what I want to do? I want to preach a message because I want you to get whatever it is God has given me in that book. We want people to come to this church. No. We want people to get whatever it is that you got that's enabled you to be in this church family. Follow me? And if perchance or by any chance at all, we could carry some of this stuff home into our families with the husband and the wife and the kids, that'd be an even bigger blessing. I mean, the way that we're supposed to get along in this church, if those three boys and those two girls and that girl by herself with her sisters can get along like that, that'd be marvelous. Wouldn't that be marvelous? But it isn't going to be because of the family that's going to make them get along. It's because of the love they got for their family. That's what's going to get them to get along. Yeah, but they're just boys. They're just girls. Come on, they still love each other, don't they? I don't know. How about mom and dad? Do they love each other? Yeah. Does it show? I don't know. Well, then it won't show in the children. Does everybody here love each other? Well, it shows out there whether we do or don't. If somebody just hears that, not to embarrass anybody, but Jerry builds a ramp for Sue and Lewis, mostly for Sue to come out on a ramp, a handrail thing, and then if some of the family hears about that, I don't mean Jim, I mean the rest of the family. You mean one of those church guys did that over there? Yeah, and he ran the drill through his hand too, and just but he, for her, yeah, so she wanted to fall. Put the wood up there, LD and Donna and the stuff that you do for somebody else, word does get out.
And why would he do such a thing like that?
Well, that's the testimony of a Christian. That's what Christians are supposed to do. The testimony of a Bible-believing Christian really isn't all that good anymore in the world. They don't look at it like they used to. Well, I'm worried about the world. How about us right here? Some of you aren't going to be able to stay later because I don't know what time it is. It's probably too late. You've got stuff to do or whatever. But it sure is fun to have you hang around. You get to test ourselves.
Well, I'd stay, but I don't think so. Ooh, maybe it's time for the test. Let's learn to love each other in the Lord.
And let's invite somebody to church.
Oh, yeah.
But let's invite them to whatever it is you got. And if they don't see what it is you got, that you're trying to tell them, they're not going to be coming to church either.
People are going to come here because of you. Not because of me. Not because of the sermons. Not because of the Bible. Not this day and age. This Bible is
just not important to people. Holy Spirit's in this Bible, no doubt, amen? But he's still blocked. Nobody has this in their home out there anymore. The only way that Holy Spirit's going to get out there is through you. The only way that family's going to get that love that needs to be there is by you. I think that's why Jack Hiles made such a big deal out of his life, because he was like a father to everybody. Probably overdid it or whatever. But he's not being criticized for caring. He cared. Care enough to tell him the truth? Not always. The other guy gives him the truth. Stuffs it out. Got a pretty rough family. Nobody wants that one either. Well, let's just pray for each other this week. Let's look at those verses. And I'll put them on your paper and ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do to help this be a more loving church? Are you saying we're not a loving church? No, I think we're pretty loving. I really do. There's always room for improvement. I got it down. You liar. I'm your pastor. I'll be thrilled to see you Wednesday night. We're going to finish up the Holy Spirit stuff, the work of the Holy Spirit. I felt bad that some folks missed the stuff about grieving the Spirit. That's a hurtful thing to grieve anybody. Ever grieved anybody in this church family? Ever grieved them? Ever hurt their feelings? Ever gone down? How's that go? Let the sun go down in your wrath and you never have made it right? Whatever. How about the family? Any problems within the family? Danny? Still mad at Shoney about anything? I haven't got time to tell you all the things, Pastor. You know. Well, she's your little sister. You got problems with anybody? They're your sister or brother. Yeah, but they're doing something wrong. They don't look right. They don't talk right. This is a house of no what? No judgment. What if it's real serious? A pastor gets involved. We got deacons. What are the deacons supposed to do? I don't know. But we got them. We'll talk about that later. I'm just excited. God has shown us how to have a church. I thought we already knew. Yeah, but not like he's showing us this time. You know what's better than that? We know what's going on out there. They're doing really well. They really are. With the wrong commission. Isn't that sad? How are we doing with the right commission? Only you and God knows. I think the devil kind of knows a little bit too. Let's stand. We'll dismiss with prayer. As we all flock to the altar and shed our tears of love for each other. That really is true, you know. picked on Danny a little bit. She'll go home tonight and Shoney will quietly crawl into her, under her covers. I think she's already crawled in there. Oh, okay. And Danny will kind of open the door up a little bit tonight.
Creak.
Shoney, I love you. Goodbye. Good night. Don't say goodbye because it'll make you nervous. You know, goodbye, where am I going? Good night. You know. Patients will get on the telephone and say, Tina just had to call and tell you I love you. Good night. What? You woke up? Megan.
Yeah.
Well, I love you anyway. Goldie's not here tonight. Yeah, but you know Goldie.
No.
Call up Goldie, tell you missed her tonight. And Ellie, don't go home and say that everybody's going to call her and tell her they missed you. Because if we don't, she'll feel even worse. But if they do, don't tell the pastor told him to do it. Just, if you don't care that Goldie was not here tonight, then don't call her. You know? But if you do, Mrs. Casey's in the hospital. And isn't there some place? Brent, hurting. Louis, hurting. Jimmy tends to have a lot of hurts as times go by here. You know? Marilyn, she's in potential situation of getting more speeding tickets again now. You know? Austin and Sam and Tyler, they're still brothers. They can still have problems. Chuck's working a stressful job. Catherine is Catherine. I know you do. I'm glad you do, because otherwise I'd have to treat you nicer. I know. You know, Jerry's Jerry. Bill's not here tonight. He's working. He couldn't come. You just don't miss him anyway? What time does he get home? What time is he in bed usually? Okay, so try to time it when he's in bed. And call Bill and say, Bill, we really miss you Sunday nights and Wednesdays. We're glad when they get the schedule thing and all the phones turned off. Okay. Smart. She knows us already too well, you know. I mean, catches have hardly missed at all, but when they've been gone a couple times, man, it's two pews. You know? Is it the numbers we miss? No, it's them we miss. You know? Someday Tyler's going to be grown up and out of here. Or is he going to be out of here and then grow up? You know, how's this going to go here, you know? Well, someday he'll be gone. And of all miracles, someday patience will be gone. Mm-hmm. Got to find this guy named Consolation, I guess. You know? Well, I'll tell you, someday we're going to bury Marilyn. Then you can't tell her how much of a blessing she's been to you. It won't do any good to stand over the coffin and say, oh, I wanted to tell you, Marilyn, but I just couldn't. Sue's had her opportunity. The elephant didn't come for permanence. Oh, I'm telling you. Shoney's going to grow up someday. Yes, she is. She really will. Maybe some others around? New ones around? No. I think you're all done doing that, aren't you? We have to bring them in from Colorado. Oh, no, there's still possibilities. Yes, there's still possibilities. We're family. So think of each other as family this year, this week. Maybe you got a perverted definition of family. How's your family? Do you treat the church family like you treat your family? Maybe you treat the church family better than you treat your family. I think we all could do some learning this week still. Poor Donna. Mike's in Nebraska. Her only glimmer of hope and enjoyment. You know what? Donna needs church family. Don't you? Your church family has got to be there. How can I stretch this out, as Tyler said? I think he's trying to stretch this out. I don't know. I guess we just need to pray for each other. If you're praying for each other, pretty hard to get mad at somebody you're praying for. Unless, of course, you're praying in a manner such as, Lord, kill them. Let me be the one to do it. I'm glad your prayers have not been answered yet for me anyway. Father, we thank you so much for this time tonight. And
And Lord, I thank you for the scriptures that we turn to tonight to show us how to be brethren and sisters. Pray, Lord, that any areas that we're weak at, that you would help us be stronger there. And I know, Lord, you sure love us. And you love us in spite of us. Matter of fact, you love us so much that you took away all that makes us unlovable to you. Lord, help us look at each other. Get rid of the stuff that we think is unlovable. And let us just love each other as church family. Lord, help us not fall into the trap of the commission out there that everybody's building a church and doing this and that and whatever. And even building it on love. They got a mixed up thing about love. But help us, Lord, just love you and fellowship with you this week. And fellowship with each other. Care for each other. And maybe someday, Lord, those folks have a bad attitude or a bad reputation towards us or some anger, hatred towards us. Maybe they'll see that you're real in our lives. And maybe we could learn our Bibles enough, Lord, to show some people what's working in our personal life. Be a blessing to somebody else. Lord, if there's any men in here tonight, fathers that are seeking a way to still be the father while they still have time, Lord, you gave us a lot of good stuff tonight that can be applied from a father towards his family. And how that family can learn to love and get along with each other. You've taught us so well. We thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, nobody can condescend as much as you had to. Nobody can go down into the dirt as much as you had to for us. And help us do that, Lord, for somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen.